every time we looked at our balance sheet for Bitcoin, we'd go, this is the best thing we've ever done. It just grows and grows. Yeah, it's a short-term volatility, but if we're looking at it compared to everything else, it's held up and performed so well. You know, the last thing we want to do is get rid of it, but also what can we do with it?
How does a post-production company made up of world-class designers and artists take control of its financial future, and how does Bitcoin fuel its stability and growth? We discuss this in today's episode with Forager co-founders Ali and Carlos. We hope you enjoy, and as a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you enjoy the content, please remember to like, follow, or share, as this all helps us greatly. Lynn and Israel are partners at Base Layer Advisors, where they employ their strong network of venture capital partners and startups to connect investors with unique opportunities within the Bitcoin innovation space. Alongside this, they support founders with their strategic growth and fundraising goals. Visit our website's advisory section to learn more. Welcome to Build with Bitcoin. I'm co-host Israel Munoz, joined with co-host Lynn Berstow. Today, we have the pleasure of welcoming Carlos and Ali from Forager. Welcome, guys, first of all.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, we're particularly excited. We came across the X announcement not too long ago. This was what, you guys made it a week or two ago? Is that right?
A little bit of a Yep.
And it read something along the lines of New York City post-production studio goes on a Bitcoin standard. And then you dig into Forager and you see big names that you guys have worked with on the creative side, HBO, Oscars, Super Bowls, lots of very interesting things on the creative end. And it's a very different episode that we're doing today because we normally focus more on Bitcoin specific technology. However, you guys decided to, as a small private company, or not so small, but as a private company, to adopt a Bitcoin standard. And we, of course, want to get into all of those aspects today. But as a starting point, Carlos and Ali, maybe you can kick us off with telling us a little bit about what your business does. What is this collective concept that Forager works on, and a little bit of background on your industry.
Sure. I'll start with this one. So Carlos and I founded Forager in January 2019 after I'd been working together. I was staff at a post house. I'd been staff, up until this point where I thought, I'm going to try my own freelance, life, because I was getting ready to make a move from New York. And Carlos and I were talking about, making this leap, and he'd been freelancing his whole career. So we had two different paths up until this point, and how he was seeing a need for the post-production, post-producer services that a post house gives to artists. But for freelancers, there's so much talent out there, and only a small amount of talent had been captured in the traditional post house setup. And there was at that time also emerging technologies that were making it possible for this vast talent network to be connected with clients in a whole new way. You didn't have to be in person all the time, with creatives to get the job done. So we decided to continue to work together after I'd gone freelance, and it snowballed into, more artist representation as I worked with more editors and colorists, and we decided to form Forager and continue to expand this network and bring on more producers and just provide this kind of support to freelancers without asking them to give up the freedoms they have as a freelancer and the branding that they had worked so hard to put forward for their own work and services. So yeah, we called ourselves a virtual post house for a long time. Still pretty much applies. And we're I guess you could think of us as a decentralized post house if we're going to use Bitcoin, terms a bit. And that continues today. We've got a global presence, and we support artists in all disciplines of post-production.
And because our audience is probably a little less familiar with the creative side of it, so that you're dealing with video, TV, audio, music, things like this. So it's the whole realm of creative. So for advertisements and for promotional work, is that correct? I just want to be kind of a little more clear about who would use your services and what some of the finished products would be.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for that, because and it's funny for me, because this is more of a new space. So for me, I'm like, oh, could you repeat that? Well, you know, what does this term really mean? So for our services in post-production, our clients are advertising agencies. We also work with production companies, anyone who's who needs editing, color, music, visual effects, and finishing, so that the product can go out into the world. We do a lot of branded content, a lot of social commercial work, music videos, and we've done short narrative feature films. We have a couple of films that we were involved with that will be at the Tribeca Film Festival this year. So it spans a bit of everything.
Great. And then Israel mentioned that you had an announcement about going on a Bitcoin standard. And this related to having Bitcoin in your treasury, Bitcoin on your balance sheet, and using that. And we'll get into that in a little bit in more detail. But obviously, both of you are Bitcoiners. And so we always like to start also with how you came to discover Bitcoin and what kind of what it means to you. And the two of you, like, how did you make that decision? You know, we want to hear the backstory, but also about how you both decided to make Bitcoin a part of your agency.
Yeah, I can take this one. It was back in March of 2020, in the middle of, you know, the pandemic shock, that I personally was just looking for some stock tips online on YouTube, and just kind of seeing, like, just, you know, you were hearing about the market crash and like how, like, they were preparing to issue, you know, like a lot of liquidity, like central banks. So I was just honestly thinking about, okay, maybe there's opportunity here to buy some stocks. And I stumbled upon this interview with Preston Pysh on YouTube, first time I'd ever seen him. And I didn't know anything about him, but I remember the interviewer being like, Preston, everyone knows you as the stock guy. You're telling me you don't have any equities right now? And he was like, no, like, why would I own equities when all these companies operate on a fiat standard? And I didn't know what any of that meant, but it just made me intrigued. And so, you know, I just went down like a mini rabbit hole from there. And I think a couple of days later, I bought my first Bitcoin just to try it, you know, I had heard about the halving, you know, it's about to happen. And this all sounds very techy, but cool. And of course, Ali and I are very good friends, and I give some unsolicited financial advice to Ali, being like, you should get one of these too. I guess it sounds like it's going to go up. So very speculative, like, you know, like we just thought it was an opportunity there. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have, you know, like once you hold this thing and you see it moving in all directions and you just get curious, so you want to learn more. And I think it was June of 2020 where we were like, our logic was, we own now some Bitcoin personally. Should we just buy one on behalf of Forager? And we do it. And then I think the following month, we just get another one because you have to have two once you have one. So it was really just that simple, you know, like kind of logic is like, why not? This seems to be like have like a good upside. And just, I believe it was August that Michael Saylor emerges in Bitcoin Twitter, and he announces that his company is buying all these millions and putting all their reserves into Bitcoin. And that's when we were like, okay, maybe there's something serious about this. And I think from that point, we just set up like a dollar cost average automatically for us. And thankfully, you know, like we had some reserves at Forager, and they were just sitting there in the bank, collecting almost like 0%. So we were like, we might as well just start buying some of this. But as again, nothing. There was no more than that. Just kind of pure speculation in the beginning, and then you know the orange pilling comes gradually after that.
I do want to interrupt you and point out that you were ahead of Michael Saylor in putting Bitcoin on the balance sheet of Forager. That you did that. But
exactly,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. I had thought that perhaps the two of you were Bitcoiners a while before you decided to put it in the company, but it was all at the same time. That's great. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I love the story. And you need to get on Preston's podcast, by the way.
That would be the dream. Yeah. And, yeah, of course, now I know all about Preston. Like it's like he's the GOAT. So of course.
and Ali, by the way, out of curiosity, what was your initial reaction to Carlos's unsolicited advice? I mean, what was your initial, you know, journey into Bitcoin?
Well, like Carlos said, we're very good friends, and I trust Carlos with my life. And I'd heard a little bit about Bitcoin, and like I said, we had reserves. We were looking to diversify, you know, what we had in savings at that point. And I thought, you know, why not? I remember when we couldn't even sit next to each other yet. I'd already moved. We were across each other's computer screens. He'd sent me a ledger. I think it was for my birthday or something. And I'm like, what is it? You can send me a whole Bitcoin themed birthday box. And I, at the time, was still very much like naive, didn't know a whole lot about this. And you walked me through sending a Bitcoin. And so we did that transaction. I'm like, well, that is incredible. I still am not entirely sure what I'm going to do with this now, but it really, you know, like really made me interested. I remember when you pointed out that this company called MicroStrategy was buying this Bitcoin. And so I have these memories of when we first started, you know, diversifying Foragers, you know, or like our combined profits into something that could perform down the road for us. And like Carlos said, we didn't know what that meant, but we were pragmatic in that, you know, we're having a great couple of years, but every company, especially as one as new as ours, will eventually come to a point where the years aren't as great. Maybe we're going through a rocky patch, and maybe we can talk a little bit late, you know, in a bit about what we're facing right now and why this is become such an important tool for us. But we're just looking to make sure our savings grew and would support us down the line for whatever that meant, you know, growth or just sustaining our operations. So I mean, in all honesty, Bitcoin was like that was when it became like a hobby. I'd check every once in a while. I would sometimes just like remind myself where I put my ledger, you know, is that kind of like, oh, where is that thing? And then when we were, you know, in the last month, like looking at our investments and our assets, and every time we looked at our balance sheet for Bitcoin, we'd go, this is the best thing we've ever done. It just grows and grows. Yeah, it's a short-term volatility, but if we're looking at it compared to everything else, it's held up and performed so well. You know, the last thing we want to do is get rid of it, but also what can we do with it? And then I guess we can, you know, talk about what we have done with it. But for me, my Bitcoin journey has really just begun.
Build with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River, a Bitcoin-only financial services company that I've personally been using for years. I really enjoy the strong focus they have on security and reliability, which ultimately leads to peace of mind. I know you're a big fan as well.
I am. I feel so confident referring people to River, in addition to what you mentioned. Also, they've got US-based phone support, which I think for somebody who's less familiar with the space or used to personal service is really helpful. In addition, they have a private client services division. So if you're looking to invest $100,000 or more, They have a special suite of services designed for you, whether you're a high net worth individual, a family office, or a trust. I also really appreciate the continued improvements they make in the back end so that that reliability and security continues to be really apparent.
They additionally also have US dollar cash deposits paid out in Bitcoin. They have a yield product for that, which is an interesting alternative way of accumulating Bitcoin. Overall, fantastic suite of services. If you're interested in onboarding or opening up an account at River, use partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin for personalized onboarding.
Something that I'd like to get a better understanding of, the problem. I mean, what the creative industry is perhaps going through right now. I mean, I think as a young company, it's naturally difficult to grow and to know how to manage your resources. And of course, Bitcoin, we'll get into why that's such a powerful tool. But for the creatives industry, what do you guys observe, Carlos and Ali, as far as economic cycles? I mean, we're going through some very uncertain times. Inflation, depending on where you are in the world, is stronger or weaker than others. But in general, how do economic cycles affect your particular colleagues, and why is this problem so relevant to other companies?
Yeah, so our industry is very susceptible to these economic cycles. I think Forager is just a little over 5 years old, and we have we've seen COVID and the lockdowns where everything shut down completely. And so if film shoots aren't happening, we're not getting work. You know, the first part of the pandemic, we were sustained a little bit just by the work we'd already been doing. But then it dries up because the work isn't being done. But then once COVID safety procedures have been put into place and stimulus was being pumped into the economy to get businesses back to work, and grants were being provided to small businesses, then there's this expansion of work and people are spending and comfortable using the money that's being provided to them to continue operating, which is great in the short term, right? And we had crazy couple of years right after that. And then we see the effects of that stimulus, and then things start to contract again, and budgets are being cut. At the same time, we're battling those market forces. AI comes bursting onto the scene. And now there is an expectation that a lot of the work that we do in our post-production industry with the editing and, you know, music and visual effects and can be done very quickly and very cheaply, which is a misunderstanding of what the AI tools can do or will do, or, you know, how they actually can benefit our industry. Because I'm not anti what's happening with AI, but there's a lot of misunderstanding on what it can do and where it's at. So the budgets are becoming smaller because of market forces. They're becoming smaller because there's a perception they should be smaller, because can't we do things faster now? And so we're trying to stay ahead of that, but it's hard reconciling that period of expansion with now this very rapid period of contraction. And, it's speaking in dollars anyway, that's the issue that we've been facing in the last couple of years.
So I guess maybe now would be a good time to talk a little bit. We've alluded to it in some of the comments that you made, Ali, but, you know, exactly what have you guys decided to do? What was the announcement that came out a couple weeks ago? And what is your perspective or your strategy with Bitcoin for Forager?
Yeah, everything kind of happened unexpectedly, but also very organically. Because earlier this year, we were, like Ali mentioned, you know, like things were really slow. We were having a liquidity crunch, and we were just kind of thinking of our options, like what can we do to like fix this? And, you know, we were thinking, do we pull more money from the credit line, you know, even, but that's a little bit too aggressive with the interest rates. Do we just lend money ourselves, you know, to the company? But, you know, that's basically all the pressure on us as founders to sustain the whole thing. And there's no promise really that we're going to be able to turn this around. So we were just kind of brainstorming, and we knew we had the Bitcoin treasury there sitting in a very healthy levels. But of course, as Bitcoiners, we don't want to sell the Bitcoin. But, you know, we just didn't know if that was like, it was going to come down to that. So we thought, of course, about borrowing against the Bitcoin. And we know there are services that do that. It was honestly like a little bit intimidating still, because, you know, like there are all the different, it would be the first time we do it. And I know there are all these terms sometimes, also like margin requirement and just details that I don't think we were ready to take too much risk on. So we just came up with the conclusion that, you know, we could set it all up ourselves. Like we could borrow against our Bitcoin, like as founders, do like a founders type of round, but structure it as a 5-year bond. Because we wanted it to work on our terms. So the 5 years I learned from Saylor, you know, that buys him a lot of time, you know, to like be able to sustain a Bitcoin winter. And, you know, like if you get Bitcoin time, it eventually is going to come back. Then we didn't want any liquidation rules or no coupons until mature, so full repayment at maturity. So it was kind of like the ideal situation. And on top of that, we also said that 35% of that amount was going to go to our Bitcoin treasury, so that, you know, that Bitcoin treasury just keeps growing no matter what. So in a way, it was kind of like we figured it out. Like, you know, this is protects the treasury, protects us. It works on our terms. And once we did that, we were like, you know, wouldn't it be cool to just make all this public? Because I think it's a cool way to like kind of deal with this liquidity situation that I'm sure many companies in our industry are facing. And on top of that, we can just make it official that we have been, you know, growing this treasury for years now, and we now want to make it a priority that we are going to keep growing this treasury. And I feel like it was a strong message, you know, for many ways. And we figured that it could lead to other opportunities in the future. We have been thinking about opening a creative studio soon, and we're thinking, you know, like we could structure loans just like this to maybe fund some of these new projects. And we were just kind of thinking this could be a core part of the company, and that's why we made it official and we just kind of announced it.
I love this story on so many levels, because Israel and I, when we've been talking to Bitcoin focused technology companies, almost all of them have Bitcoin in their treasury, or they take Bitcoin as their primary payment source. So they're accumulating Bitcoin. And it's really shifted the whole way an early stage tech company even thinks about growing or raising funds. What we found is that they tend to, you know, raise earlier. They're more conservative about their cash, but they need less venture funding or, you know, outside funding as they grow, because of the Bitcoin has given them a little bit of a cushion. And it's really fascinating to me how you guys have turned, you know, it was kind of a speculative investment in 2019, 2020, you know, into this creative way of protecting yourself as founders, but also giving your business the ability to weather a challenging situation. As, you know, I think there's so much change going on right now in the creative space, I'm sure, that it just really gives you that comfort level. And it also sets a model. I mean, I went through the comments on your Instagram from a lot of your and the Twitter, and it feels like a lot of your clients or other creatives watched you and had been thinking about it themselves. But yeah, I think you're really leaders in your industry and in your space for what you've done. So would love to hear some of the feedback you've gotten from, you know, from your clients or from your artists that you work with or from other people in the industry.
Yeah, I was just saying to Carlos before this, because I had another call, as I've had, I'm having a lot of these follow-up calls since this announcement, you know, with people who are curious about what this all means. And we were actually a bit nervous maybe to make this public announcement, because we were really confident in our strategy and what we had discovered, and that we have an amazing tool here that we're sitting on, didn't even quite grasp it until recently. But at the same time, we didn't have a full read on how our industry views this technology and, you know, how it can be used. Didn't expect any like real backlash, but maybe more questions. And we've had questions, but a lot of just really positive feedback where people going, oh my gosh, I've been into this since 2014 and I do have a little bit of this and that. And, you know, I want to talk to you more about, yeah, how you see this funding creative projects in the future, et cetera. So actually the response has been amazing. And it's like, I don't know, everyone feels more comfortable now talking about the fact that they have been interested and they see a value in this, you know, speculative asset that is maybe not just speculative anymore. So yeah, the response has been great. And it has introduced us to people also now around the world who are very into this and looking for creative partners. So it has been just like it's opened another door. It's opened another door to another audience. And that's been really valuable just in, you know, the short term right now for interesting conversations.
Yeah, you know, I love what you mentioned earlier, Carlos, that this Bitcoin allowed you to address this liquidity situation for your business on your own terms, right? And I think you're spot on not, you know, getting yourselves into things that you weren't comfortable with or didn't understand. I mean, it sounds like you guys have thought through this in a very smart way. So, I mean, congratulations, first of all. But the actual structure that you guys went through as well, I mean, for creatives, you know, you're thinking in financial terms ahead of many people in traditional finance even. And, you know, I love the fact that you guys structured this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was 5-year period, 5%, a third of the proceeds roughly being used for additional BTC acquisition. And it actually sounds a lot like, it reminds me of, I believe it's Battery Finance, the guys behind the also big Bitcoin bonds that have, you know, been pretty public lately. And it's essentially just, I mean, the core pillars of it from my point of view are precisely what you guys structured in your own, you know, in your own creative bond process, which was recognizing that as long as you're not risking yourself to the short-term volatility and viewing this in a 5-year time frame, in your case, midterm, you know, it's an appreciating asset against the currency that's continually being devalued. And the risk return profile just ends up being, you know, quite attractive there. And I think you guys are setting a great example and it sounds like for many from the feedback that you were mentioning, Ali, which is I think just admirable that you guys went public with this in that regard. Can you tell us a little bit about the access to capital for a business in your industry? I mean, is it typically, what were your other alternatives? You alluded a little bit to this, Carlos, but you know, why consider Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not obviously familiar with every company in our industry, but we are definitely on the smaller boutique side of when it comes to production and post-production. I assume that the big corporates, like our competition, like the big houses, they have much more access, you know, to like investors and liquidity, you know, than like the smaller boutique places. I think that most people in our level depend more on the traditional finance type of tools. So like a lot of line of credits, a lot of like, you know, like business loans, those kinds of things, which are there, but it's also, it just takes time sometimes to like figure these things out. And it just kind of happened to be there, right? Like we had the Bitcoin, we had our own keys, like borrowing against it. It was just a matter of setting up a contract and making sure that we were hitting all these boxes. But yeah, I think it just made sense. And I honestly think we went through a whole Bitcoin winter, and we saw FTX. You know, we saw everything that happened in that time. So I feel like we were both a little bit also paranoid. We wanted to make sure that we were addressing every single, you know, like risk factor of setting up something like this. And also because in the future, if we want to open this up a little bit more, we want to make sure we're taking all the responsibilities necessary.
And just to add to that too, we'd still control our company in doing this. You know, we're not now bringing in people who we need to give points to consider. Carlos and I get along so well, and we always come to a consensus on what we feel is best for our company. And that is, I know, a really rare thing. And if we were to start taking investors and needing to include them in certain types of decisions, it would be so complicated and really take away from the way that Carlos and I want to be running this company together, you know, without needing to take so many opinions into consideration, and maybe watering down our mission. And being able to do this against an asset that we own, and yes, we will be giving an interest rate to those who are loaning the money for a project for our operations, you know, and then helping us build this treasury. We'll owe them that money back at maturity, but it's still just Carlos and I. It's still our company. And that was really important to me as well.
Yeah, Bitcoin is, I think, at its foundation about self-sovereignty. And so I think this just is a really great example about how you can continue to be sovereign as founders of your business and run the creative, I think, in your industry, probably as much or more than any other. I mean, the creativity really depends on the two of you. And so you don't want an investor that is that doesn't understand the process to get involved with the decision making. So that's a really fascinating aspect of it. Yeah. And then, I mean, do you see, so you have people asking you how you do this? I mean, did you have a lawyer involved, or did you, yeah, I mean, because you probably know a lot more about Bitcoin and what's possible with it than many other legal or accounting professionals that are out there. I think that's it's a small universe of people who can help set something like this up. So just wondered how you went about the documentation process.
I've become really good at prompting ChatGPT. So a lot of it came with that. I've also learned that I asked ChatGPT if it could pretend to be Joe Carlosari to review some documents. And so I know that if Joe approves, or at least fake Joe approves, we're somewhere there. But because this one was a prototype, you know, we just kind of set it up internally. You know, we know, like, we were not gonna, we just kind of wanted to get something done. So ChatGPT has been really useful to set up, you know, these documents and also presentations, because it's already learning, like, our strategy. So it's been really useful for that sense. But of course, if we want to open this up to other third parties, we're probably going to be drafting in ChatGPT, maybe sending it to like the experts to actually check them over. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, it all was just kind of very organic.
I want to shift a little bit direction of the conversation to what is at the core of what you do. And so one of the things Israel and I were just so impressed with your announcement, the way you did it in such a creative way. You had the series of Instagram Q&A posts of questions that you were getting from friends and associates and things. And I just felt, you know, people always say Bitcoin doesn't have a marketing department, and it doesn't. And I think that's really held back its adoption compared to other digital assets. But, you know, the way you just distilled down these, you know, very, very common and complex questions into simple phrases, and the responses you gave was just beautiful. So would love to hear a little bit more about how you view, how you went about that process. And also, you know, just kind of let's chat a little bit more about how we can all be better communicators about Bitcoin.
I think we, as Ali was mentioning earlier, we were trying to be very careful with the messaging, because we did not know what the reaction was going to be. Like, all of a sudden, you know, like all we post on social media is our work and the beautiful frames that we, you know, worked on and things. But so this Bitcoin announcement came out of the blue. And funny enough, it got a lot of engagement, like more engagement than a lot of the work that we do. And we were getting some questions on DMs, but also people texting me. Ali was also getting some questions. And as a Bitcoiner, I was familiar with all these, just because it's the classic, you know, like, diversification, what about other cryptos, or Are you guys mining now? What does this mean? We were responding to all these anyway, so I figured, you know, it would be useful to kind of address all these publicly. But as I was kind of building that FAQ, I was like, this would be more fun in stories, you know, and like with some humor. And I don't want to dox the people asking the questions, so maybe we'll just decorate those a little bit and just make it funny. So we kind of created content out of, you know, like the questions that we were being asked. And I was telling Ali, like, our account views skyrocketed that week. Like, and we just thought it was funny because it was literally text over black, you know, like about like super nerdy questions, but our community really liked it. So, or at least they were intrigued.
Yeah. I mean, Carlos is the design brains behind what we do. Whenever I draft something, he will go, thank you for the copy, and then go and put it into something that looks really nice. So, you know, he applied his skills to this, and it was perfect. I do think that as I have tried to catch up in my Bitcoin knowledge since we've been talking about this, you know, this treasury plan, that I found a lot of it, for good reason, to be, you know, like very, very technical. You get drawn into rabbit holes easily, and it is hard to distill into bite-sized pieces, and that's because it is very complex, and its uses are still being discovered, so that is really exciting, but also overwhelming to someone who is just getting into this space, and with how quickly information, you know, moves and things change in this world, also can feel like you read something one week and the next week maybe that's not the right application or the right way to think about it. So I think if Bitcoin had a marketing department, would probably have a lot of different departments that specialized in certain aspects of Bitcoin, and, you know, making it more visual, like we were able to do with some of the questions we were getting, is helpful for connecting ideas and, you know, how people have viewed this technology and this asset. For me anyway, too, I'm much more like a visual learner, and Carlos has shown me many charts in the last couple of weeks, and it's been great. I'm like, thank you for that, because I've had a couple of epiphanies just by being able to, you know, visualize the way that these assets work. So I do think that we could use more creativity and the presentation of the information.
We'll say also, I think I wouldn't change a thing about Bitcoin Twitter. Like, I think it attracts the right kind of person, like kind of like me, like very curious, very nerdy. Like, I consume all that, you know, like in my free time. But I think as Ali and I, as communicators, I think if we were assigned to sell kind of like the Bitcoin ethos to a broader audience, I think we would focus more on like how it affects humans, like, or human stories around that. So instead of it being about self-sovereignty, it would be maybe more about, like, I don't know, like greed, like, or just emotions, you know, that everyone feels. And I think I'm thinking of maybe like The Big Short, you know, like very complex kind of themes, but it works as a film because, you know, it's really about just the emotions that all these big characters, the colorful characters have. So I think there's a lot to be explored there.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And, you know, I love everything you guys just touched on, because and it is very welcomed. It is certainly very welcomed, a new approach to this, because it's, you were kind of mentioning, Ellie, it can be a bit overwhelming, right? I mean, at its core, something quite complex, technical, completely new, because we've never had a system quite like this. So, I mean, you do need to have creative ways to distill decentralized digital scarcity. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, you need a better way to approach this into, you know, a little more simple terms of just viewing this as a powerful savings tool, which it reaches everyone, and it should reach everyone, right? And your point there, Carlos, with just tapping into the emotions, I think is spot on. because you remove some of these technical aspects, and it is a lot of it is about fear, greed, ambition, hope. You know, like that's what we're all kind of actually going through as we first learn about why this current monetary system doesn't serve the, you know, 99% of us, and why then is Bitcoin a solution? So, you know, I really applaud you guys for your creative approach to the announcements and to the education. And yeah, I'm not sure if you guys particularly feel this exact way. I suspect yes, but I think once you truly understand and begin to learn what Bitcoin is, there is a part of you that wants to communicate it in a better way to the rest of, I mean, you know, you want others to also have a protection to what we're going through and what's coming. So being able to just speak in simple terms and reach a broader audience is just extremely powerful. You know, and maybe shifting a little bit more towards, you know, present forward, what's next for Forager and both the company and how you plan on growing from here now that you're financially stronger? And also Bitcoin, do you plan on integrating it in other ways into your business? Maybe, you know, paying salaries or accepting it as payment, or maybe just continuing to give back to the community in this educational component of letting others know how this has served you guys. Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts there for going forward?
Those are all great points, and we're thinking about how we can address all of them. So we know that in the immediate, we want to set up this creative studio with Bitcoin-backed bonds that, you know, we're using right now just for Forager's operations at the moment and overcoming any, you know, current economic uncertainties. But because, like Carlos had said earlier, we feel like we found a way to expand our treasury and use Bitcoin to fund projects. Why not turn it into a creative studio where we can really make some content that we've always wanted to, but maybe we couldn't tack it onto a client project. You know, if it's a director's cut for a spot, we do those a lot, and then we end up doing, you know, this kind of spec work for free. What if we could build on that and not, you know, not only pay the artist for the time they're putting into the spec work that's ultimately building reels and, you know, as a friend of mine said, is like a business card for them, but you know, we can fund feature films and other passion projects that the people that we represent right now have always wanted to get made but have not had the financial means to do so. And again, we'd still be able to do it without, you know, dilution from our partnership. So in the short term, we're working on creating this content studio. We are exploring Bitcoin-backed incentives for the artists we work with. We aren't in the process of accepting Bitcoin payments or paying salaries or anything in Bitcoin yet. Of course, we are very interested in what that could look like, but as far as we know, we're the only company in our industry even utilizing Bitcoin as a treasury right now and getting clients on board with paying us in Bitcoin or accepting, you know, artists accepting Bitcoin payments is going to be a huge hurdle. And I think we need to see a bit more adoption in, you know, Bitcoin in that way before we can do so. But I mean, obviously we would be 100%, you know, for it. And yeah, Carlson, I feel like there are other things we could talk about.
Because I think you need more Bitcoin companies as clients. I mean, and I hope that maybe this will kind of illuminate. I mean, I think Bitcoiners love to work with Bitcoiners, but you know, you're representing traditional clients, including some incredible ones, in big names. But I think, I think it would be a great opportunity to kind of expand your work or to see what potential there is in Bitcoin companies that could tell a better story too. I don't know if that's on your roadmap too, but it should be.
I mean, absolutely. Like, that would be the dream to, like, not only have a client that is paying you for your services, but you kind of all are building towards, like the same messaging ultimately. So that's, of course, the goal. One thing I was going to add, what Ali was saying, is that I feel like now we're kind of setting three different paths. Like Ali was saying, we have the creative studio, we have our right now our current post production company that's still doing its thing, and I'm going to be leading more of the Bitcoin treasury side. So I feel like we have realized that this Bitcoin element is crucial to our operation. So we also want to focus our attention in like making sure that this is growing even more rapidly, because if we want to be able to fund all these projects, we first want to make sure that our treasury is always healthy and growing, so we can create more of these products and making sure we're watching all our leverage and everything.
Sounds like there's a lot going on for you guys right now, and this will, I think, proved to be quite an impulse for your business. And it was all just proactive work from your end, and being able to adapt and see opportunity, and I guess not being afraid of new technology as well, right? I mean, I think it's still such an opportune moment and such a big lesson. I mean, I think you guys' story is very powerful. And even though we tend to think that we're a bit late to some of these things, I think 10 years from now, we'll continue thinking that. So it's just important to take those steps. And that being said, maybe as we begin to wind down the episode today, I'd like to hear if you guys have any words of advice. I mean, you've gone through quite a journey, I imagine, these, past 4 or 5 years, both on building your business and then as well incorporating now Bitcoin into your treasury. And that, I'm sure, has come with lots of ups and downs. Any pieces of advice out there for just generally for entrepreneurs and also for people looking at Bitcoin for the first time and considering it?
I mean, on the Bitcoin side, I would suggest, I kind of love our journey because it was very slow, and it was a very slow adoption. And I feel like with Bitcoin, you have to take your time because we had to go through that. We had to buy it first, then understand it, then go through the bear market, have our doubts in the bear market. We felt silly at some point. But it's, I think it's worth everyone getting a little bit, even businesses, just to experiment with it. And I feel like all the building comes afterward.
Ali, you have anything to add?
Carlos summed it up perfectly. He's, like the Bitcoin strategy expert on our side. But as Israel had said earlier, once you learn and understand this tool, you do sort of want to go out into the world and tell everybody you know about how it can, it can protect them from what is happening right now, at least from, protection against inflation. And I think, beyond distilling it down into something that can be understood easily from the people who aren't super familiar with it, it is also finding analogies. And I've heard also, because I was listening to some episodes of this podcast before, and I wish I'd found you guys sooner. I have a lot of listening to do. It's been so great. But someone had said, they wanted to understand it beyond analogies, which is so valid. And I think I've also been trying to understand Bitcoin beyond analogies. But for someone, if you're trying to orange pill someone, analogies are perfect. And, so as we try to find a way to spread the message of what we are doing, why we are doing it, finding that balance between the technicality and the analogies is going to be something I think we're still working on and exploring ourselves. But, bottom line, we do see this as a super important tool, and we want everyone to take a good look at it and, just maybe start putting little investments in, doing that dollar value averaging, then our dollar cost averaging, which is what we do ourselves and see how it goes in the long term. But it's definitely a long-term solution, not something to, you know, use in the short run.
Well, I'm so excited that that your story is being told and told more broadly, and I hope it inspires more creativity in telling of the story. I hope that a community builds around what you're doing, and the new creative studio, and better design, better video, better, you know, better personal storytelling around it. So I can't wait to see this kind of take bloom, and I wish you just great success with bringing along more of your creative counterparts in this journey to help them, you know, sustain some of these changes that the industry is going through, but also help us all be more effective in communicating the story of Bitcoin and what its benefits are. Israel, any other questions?
No, I think it's a great spot to end. I mean, I guess, where can people find you both, Carlos and Ellie, and learn more about Forager?
Yeah, well, you can find us on Instagram. We've set up our X account, which is how you found us, and at our website. We're on those three. And we have some email addresses on our website. You can either DM us on X or Instagram. We have some emails on our website if you want to reach out directly.
And I hope you'll be part of the kind of, you know, speak at Bitcoin conferences too, and kind of spread the word and give us all a little bit more advice about how to communicate a little bit more effectively.
I'd love to meet Preston at some point. Thank you.
We'll try and make that happen. So.
I'm sure it'll happen. And, you know, hey, congrats on everything you guys are working on. We'll include some of those links that you mentioned in the show notes. And I encourage anyone to go to the website as well, because Bitcoin aside, you guys have some very amazing work. You know, thanks for coming on to the podcast. We had a great time speaking to you both today, and wishing much success.
Thank you. It was great speaking with you.
Thanks for listening to the Build with Bitcoin podcast. If you found benefit in what you heard in this episode, we'd truly appreciate it if you would like, share, or leave a comment on whichever platform you're listening, as this helps others find us, which is especially important for a new podcast. And as a reminder, our content is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not to be considered investment advice or recommendation to invest in any company or asset mentioned in the podcast. Build with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River, a full-service, 100% reserve custody, Bitcoin-only financial services company. For your next Bitcoin purchase, use our exclusive link, partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin. Thank you sincerely for being a part of the Build with Bitcoin community.